Crazy Porks who host a show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench. Cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy. Advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more at 419-PT-LOVE-4. Pork therapy. Scattily-dee-bop, shabba-dooey.
Hello.
Welcome.
To Pork Therapy.
Yes.
Who are you?
I'm Stephanie. And who are you?
I'm Mike.
I sort of broke the pattern there. I talked twice instead
well,
of just once.
Oh, how dare you.
Interruption.
Because we do everything else according to standards.
Right.
And social norms.
We're very conformist,
yes.
Mike, aren't we? Yeah.
Something like that.
Right. So, how are you this fine freezing evening tonight?
I'm a little chilly and a little tired. How are you?
We're sitting here freezing our butts off.
You are, just in case any of our more perceptive listeners can tell by the audio, you are getting over some kind of cold?
Some kind of a virus, but I hope it won't infect my...
Infect.
I hope it's not transmissible over the radio.
I hope it won't infect your Freudian slip.
I hope it won't infect your brain. Actually, the only virus I hope will infect our listeners is the virus of liberty.
Wow. Anyway, I'm glad you're feeling better.
Wasn't there some guy who said, see, I've never been able to find this quote again, but I remember reading a while back when I was really interested in learning about atheism that, like, there was some guy who said religion is like a virus and had this whole essay spawned from that, so...
Religion is like a virus.
Right?
Well, I guess.
Virus of the mind.
But then so is pretty much any meme, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, whether it's based on logic or not, it's just, it spreads like a virus. In fact, I guess that's the point of calling a meme...
viral?
Yeah, well...
Like Alex
saying
Jones
it goes viral, but I was referring to... I was trying to refer to Richard Dawkins, who came up... I think he came up with the term, didn't he?
Which term?
Meme?
Oh, yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, but I thought he... You know, he came up with it as... Anyway, this is way off topic. So
well,
never mind.
Let's finish your thought, Mike.
I believe his sequel book to The Selfish Gene was what the... I can't remember the name of the second book, but in it he talks about memes being basically like a gene.
Yep.
They carry on, they spread themselves, and obviously it is not a living force, but he made the metaphorical comparison. And so, yeah, it does spread like a virus, like a life force.
Yeah. Although there's some debate about whether viruses are alive, right? Because they need a living thing to propagate.
Right. That's true.
So,
by the way, it's called extended phenotype. I just remembered.
Oh, great memory, Mike. So impressed. Anyway, so I'm glad to be here with you tonight.
Ditto. Even though thanks for coming.
Trying to get over a cold, and so today was actually National Opt-Out Day. Should we talk about that a little bit?
Sure.
It was the day before Thanksgiving. It's supposed to be the busiest travel day of the year, and there were some, I wouldn't say protests. I guess people were calling them outreach events, right? Planned at the airports all around the country to let people know about the TSA and how they were, viewing naked pictures of people's bodies in the backscatter machines and also touching them inappropriately in a way that would make many people very uncomfortable by just kind of, groping them if they opt out of these machines.
I just saw a, 1 minute video on Reason TV about it played the old silly song Ding-a-ling. Ever heard of it?
No, but
my ding-a-ling, I want you to play with my ding-a-ling. But anyway, it played that silly song while showing actual photographs of TSA agents essentially molesting people. In poses in airports, touching breasts and with their hand between the crotch and all kinds of disgusting positions. It was just amazing.
That's horrifying.
Yeah, yeah. So the opt-out day, although I don't like some group or person claiming that this is a national day of opt-out.
Right.
I don't like that collectivism thought, but otherwise I like the idea. Just let's educate people on what's happening, what's actually going on. And
by the way, did you know tomorrow is National Pork Therapy Day?
Don't what I thought tomorrow was nearing the end of National Pork Therapy Month.
Oh,
and I thought it was global.
Yes, it's Global Pork Therapy Month. Let all your friends
know. In that
case,
I like it.
Yes. I'm sorry, I totally interrupted you, Mike. Whatever.
So you were saying about an opt-out day, because I did not participate in the demonstration here in New Hampshire's airport. You did.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah, well, I tried to. I had a little bit of a fail. So I guess it was starting kind of early in the morning, and I've been sick, and so I slept in pretty late. And by the time I got down there, pretty much everyone was gone or in the process of leaving. And so I didn't really get to participate very long. I just a couple of minutes, and then I packed it in and left. So.
Oh, that's a bummer. Well, I was running errands and happened to be at a place where about five of the activists returned after having been there.
Mm-hmm.
And they were explaining to me that throughout the day there were about 30 activists who had come and gone. So it was relatively successful.
Yeah.
No significant harassment by self-proclaimed authority figures, mm-hmm. a lot of handing out of flyers.
Yeah.
One of the activists who has been in our peanut gallery before
claimed,
you know, his opinion was that it was about 50-50 in terms of positive and negative reactions from passersby.
But of course, though, that's almost sort of a self-selected group, because the thing I was really struck by when I went down there was the emptiness of the airport. You know, this is supposed to be the busiest travel day of the entire year. And I get there and I'm walking down the terminal, and because I'd heard some Pork 411s that said people were inside the terminal. So I went inside and I looked around and I saw baggage claim empty. You know, there was maybe one person, one bag.
Wow.
Then I walked past a screening area that was kind of glassed in with the TSA, and there were probably 10 or 12 or 15 TSA agents, one lady in line. One person. That's it. And I thought, okay, well, maybe I hit a lull or something. And I'm walking down the terminal, and all I see are people in blue uniforms. It's all TSA agents.
Wow.
And then I finally got to the end of the terminal, and there were a few regular people there that weren't government bureaucrats, but it was like a ghost town. And then I looked at the baggage, the areas where you check your bags, you know, where you claim your tickets.
Yeah, the ticket counter.
Ticket counters. And, you know, they had the big little rat mazes set up.
The big little, yeah.
Yes, the big little, Mike. Thank you for pointing that out.
The rat mazes, yes.
Yeah, they had the little rat mazes set up, but there were, like, almost nobody in line. They were, like, unused.
Well, it's...
So I think a lot of people decided not to fly.
I would say a lot of people decided not to fly and or travel because of specifically the backscatter, you know, hype that's going around. And not that it's wrong, but, you know, the TSA has been absolutely horrific since 9/11.
Right.
And that's been, what, over a decade?
Yeah.
So it's not like suddenly this year.
Or not even a decade, almost.
Almost a decade?
9 years since 9/11.
Okay. That's a lot of years for, I don't know, people to get used to it and start flying again. A lot of them are.
Yeah.
So it seems to me like it's not just the tyranny and the invasion of privacy that's going on. It's very specific that probably triggered a mass exodus of the travel industry or of the flight industry. And it's probably the backscatter, the naked pictures machine. That's my guess.
Yeah, I think it's not only the techniques that they're using, but the experiences of people that are being actually covered in the mainstream news. Like, it started off with what happened to Meg. You know, our friend Meg, the fellow activist here in New Hampshire, you know, she had a really bad experience, and she got a lot of coverage from that.
Yeah.
And, you know, put great personal effort and energy into doing all these media interviews. And then there was this other guy, John Tyner, out in the West Coast, who had a similar experience. He was the guy who said, "Don't touch my junk or I'll have you arrested," or something.
He should have said treasure.
Go back to episode one if you want to hear about our thoughts on...
Was that really episode one?
Oh, I think it was somewhere in there.
Wow, maybe, but anyway.
In the first 10.
Yes. So I do agree that the ideas are propagating. The memes are spreading.
They're going viral.
And they're not going viral. That's what I think is not happening.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's... Well, when I think of going viral, I think spreading like an epidemic.
Right.
And I think the meme of the TSA is tyrannical, the government's bad, and your privacy is being invaded unnecessarily, that's very slow spreading, in my opinion.
Well, those are a couple of different memes, I think.
Well, that's true, but all three of those that I just mentioned, I think, are relatively slow spreading.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if there was a meme...
Well, because there's a great deal of personal resistance to allowing that meme entrance into your brain.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
You can kind of block your ears and not and la-la-la and not listen, even though there's evidence that the government is doing these pretty tyrannical things and invading people's privacy and hurting people and touching them inappropriately.
So I guess all of this effort is, and all the time spent, all these 9 years and more coming, are worth it because it's slowly propagating the meme, slowly educating people, right? Or maybe not even slowly. In my opinion, slowly.
I don't know. I think, well, see, I think people have these personal thresholds based on them balancing how much harm it does to them to think about and accept the ideas that, hey, this government is going way overboard. They're really inconveniencing me. They're stealing my time. They're stealing my privacy and my freedom.
They're stealing me up.
They're interfering with my right to travel, which is kind of a basic, you know, I won't say human right because that sounds like the UN treaty or whatever, but this is like a very basic thing, the freedom of movement. And these people are interfering with that. You know, if you realize that, you know, you may also have to kind of accept that government is not as good as you thought it was. Government is has harmful. Great power to do harm. And, you know, maybe some of these people are benefiting from government programs or have government jobs or are, you know, have a lot of fear about terrorism or have bought into the fear and kind of about terrorist attacks. And so, you know, they kind of have this little bit of cognitive dissonance going on. They think, oh, they're going too far, but then they also think, well, I can't really question them too much because of these other ideas that I hold. So I think that kind of results in balancing out in a personal threshold for everybody.
Sure.
Where it's like, okay, at this point, it's okay if they take my water bottle. It's okay if they make me buy a little 3.2 ounce whatever of mouthwash, but it's not okay for them to touch my breasts.
Right.
Some people have that threshold, and for some people it's further back than others.
Yep.
Like, we have a couple of friends who have said, like, Brian Travis wrote an article on LouRockwell.com saying, yeah, like, these body skinners are a horrible invasion of privacy and they're awful and terrible. But
however,
what about all the other...
Yeah.
What about taking off your shoes? What about taking off your belt? What about them stealing your water bottle?
Well, that's kind of what I meant. Well, I think I barely touched upon that a few minutes ago when I said people are getting used to it. So after 9/11, there might have been a huge general consensus that, oh, well, all this invasion of privacy is necessary. Like, and I'm talking like days after.
Right.
And then a year after 9/11, there was probably a huge consensus that this is all BS. Since then, the general consensus has kind of wavered to this is necessary, to this is overkill, to this is an invasion, to this is whatever.
Right, which is why it's important to kind of speak out about this, because if all people hear is this one view, which is handed down directly from the government or the TSA, then they'll be like, oh yeah, you know, I should be afraid. It's necessary. It's keeping me safe. Right? And if they don't hear us kind of saying, well, no, it's not keeping you safe and it's not necessary and actually it's harming you and hurting you, then...
Yeah, that's the... I guess, I don't know if it's even ironic, but nothing they do in airports is keeping anyone safer.
No.
Nothing.
No.
Not the naked pictures, not the frisks, not the metal detectors, not the shoes off. Nothing they do is making anyone safer when they fly.
It's just stealing people's productivity and time.
And
privacy.
And embedding obedience. It's training obedience.
Oh, that's a great point, Mike. Yeah.
But it's not making people more secure. I mean, if you ever go look up their rules and... or, you know, I don't know how far you'd want to take your research, but let's say you wanted to just... see what a terrorist would have to do in order to, you know, do another 9/11, in order to steal an airplane and fly it into a building.
Right.
You could do it today, right now. All you have to do is charter a private plane. It costs more money now, but why would anybody who's about to kill themselves care about money? They'd have funding. And, you know, it's just as easy to do today. For that matter, look at all the screening that goes on the planes that theoretically can't get stolen, the commercial flights.
Mm-hmm.
And the TSA's own... what do you call them, like secret shoppers? The TSA's own teams to check their accuracy get like 50 to 70% of their tests fail.
Yes, yes.
Of their own tests!
Yeah. By those odds, all you would have to do if you were a terrorist is send like five people through, and four of them are probably guaranteed to make it.
That's right! It's just ludicrous that any of this is secure.
Oh yeah, we've heard people say that they accidentally forgot that they had lighters in their pockets.
Or knives.
Yeah, or knives. Or rounds of ammunition.
Right,
I've heard that.
Or 4 ounces of water.
Oh, God forbid. Hey, Mike, I have a question. Have you ever had a personal TSA horror story that you want to tell?
Well, it's not very significant, but I used to fly for a living, maybe 10 trips a year or so.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
And it started probably half a year or a year before 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And so when 9/11 hit, the first flight I took after that was, I don't recall now, but maybe a couple weeks after, maybe a month after.
Right.
And... they took a little... I was given by a friend overseas a little credit card-sized piece of plastic,
mm-hmm.
in thickness as well, and in it you could pull out, it was kind of like a Swiss Army credit card. You could pull out a little tweezers and a little, like, mustache scissors and a little ruler and a little pocket knife that was, like, an inch and a half long.
Yep.
And it was engraved to me as well, or not engraved, but whatever they do to emboss. It was embossed to me.
Cool.
And the TSA stole it. Yeah, so here I was with a soda can in my hand, which they let me have, but they took this personal object and kept it. And I'm thinking, well, you know what? I could tear this soda can in half with my hands, because I've done that before.
Yeah.
And then I have a larger, sharper blade than is in this little thing that they, personal item that they stole from me.
And did you say that to them, or did you?
I did not say that to them, but I did, like, right there in the airport while waiting for my flight, I wrote a little essay, which I published. It's on my blog website somewhere. I think I called it Congratulations, Osama. But this was, you know, this was 9 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not gotten better.
Yeah, it's definitely not gotten better, and in fact, it's gotten worse even. I remember back in about 2005, this is probably my worst experience with the TSA. In 2005, I was flying to visit my boyfriend at the time, and who lived in a different city.
Uh-huh.
And I was going through the security to, like, go home, and I had some chopsticks, like some wooden chopsticks, not even metal, in my bag, because I was into Chinese or, like, Japanese, you know, Asian food kind of culture. And so I had chopsticks in my bag, and somehow they, you know, the guy asked me if I had any weapons in my bag, and I said, no, I don't have any weapons. And he pulled out the chopsticks and he goes, I thought you said you didn't have any weapons in your bag. And I said, those are chopsticks. And he said, ma'am, I'm going to have to ask you to step over here. And then they gave me another, you know, special search, and they rifled through my whole bag, and they were taking out my DVDs and making fun of them. And, you know, I had some personal, you know, some tampons or something in there, and they, you know, kind of made me feel uncomfortable.
Those could be a weapon.
Yeah, they could be. You could hit someone over the head with that, right, Mike?
I wonder, did any of these people who were harassing you and looking through your stuff without your permission, did they have any weapons on them?
Oh, yes, they all had weapons on them,
Interesting.
Yeah, funny how that works, huh?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, there's just no end. And those are extremely tame stories by comparison.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, actually, Mike, it's funny that you said you got your thing pocket knife thing stolen.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember there were some stories a couple of years ago that said, you know, they were saving this stuff and selling it on eBay.
On eBay, yeah. That's absolutely correct. I thought it was longer than a couple of years ago. I thought it was, I think the first I heard of that was 5 or 8 years ago or something.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. But
time flies.
I've heard of I've definitely heard that too.
Yeah. Anyway, so
just so infuriating. And I'm sure some bureaucrat and all the pro government people are thinking, well, why not? They've got this pile of stuff that they can't use that, you know, they had to take, so they might as well get some money for it.
Right.
And I'm thinking, what a conflict of interest.
Yeah.
Here are these people with guns telling us that our personal belongings, like chopsticks, are weapons so that they can take them and then sell them.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what if my little embossed pocket knife was, you know, like some watches are $5 and some watches are $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what if that one was a really expensive knife and they just took it and sold it on eBay because, you know what, we could use some revenue.
Oh,
or your
sure,
chopsticks. What
I'm
if
sure
they were embossed
happened.
In, not embossed, in...
Ivory chopsticks with
gold.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just disgusting.
Well, funny enough, in the end, they let me walk on the plane with those dangerous chopsticks, so
yeah.
It must not have been that dangerous. Just in an attempt to,
so
like,
disgusting.
Dig through my eyelash curler or whatever.
Well, that's because the chopsticks weigh less than 3 ounces.
Oh, that's right. That's right, Mike. How could I forget? Anyway, so should we get into our topics?
We might as well.
Yeah,
let's not get into our topic. Let's talk about two other quickies.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Let's, I think we could do all of these, Mike. I'd, you know, make it a 30-minute or something.
All right.
Okay. So anyway, so we got some feedback on one of our recent shows where we were talking about nonviolent communication. And nonviolent communication was something that we got into a couple episodes back, maybe 3 or 4 episodes back. We did a joint podcast with Wes Bertrand. And nonviolent communication is a way of resolving conflicts in a way of empathizing with yourself, I guess, creating a win-win situation to get your needs met. And you can listen to our show to find out more about it, but it's abbreviated NVC for nonviolent communication. And we did a follow-up episode to that one talking about nonviolent communication, and we were saying NVC a lot. We were using that acronym.
We started the show by saying nonviolent communication, remember that episode, blah, 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 and then we said NVC for the rest of the episode.
Yes. And we got some feedback on this. I guess it was someone who may have tuned in at the beginning of the... I'm sorry.
Not after the beginning.
After the beginning, right.
Probably tuned into us on the Liberty Radio Network instead of downloading our podcast.
Right. So anyway, this person wrote us an email and said, it seems like all you said was NBC a trillion times. Maybe you said what it was at the beginning of the show, but... and then he kind of said some rude stuff. Unbelievable. 45 minutes of NBC. I wonder if anyone else knew what the F it was. And then he sent a second email. I do love the show. Just wanted to say I love the show, but didn't know what NBC was.
He said, I do love the show, parenthesis, I sent the grumpy email, parenthesis.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess if we were going to put this in nonviolent communication terms or NBC terms, I would want to ask this listener, was he feeling annoyed because he wasn't understanding what we meant? Right? His need for clarity was not being met, perhaps?
Okay.
Right?
It could be. And since he's not here to respond and...
You can pretend to be him if you
don't
want.
Well, I don't know what he'd say, but
no.
I was just going to say that his rudeness isn't necessary, but I actually agree with him that if we were only doing a podcast, I wouldn't agree with him. I would kind of say, well, you know what? If you're not going to pay attention, that's kind of your... To the beginning where we said it, then that's kind of your issue. But we are also on the Liberty Radio Network. We're actually on radio shows, and people can tune in the middle. Mm-hmm. So we probably need to pick up some better radio-like habits of repeating ourselves. Yeah. I kind of agree with him that if we're saying NVC for 30 minutes or 29 minutes after the first minute, then maybe we should say nonviolent communication every now and then.
Yeah, or give a quick recap. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, we actually, to tell that this is kind of a behind the scenes little secret, I guess, but we have sort of adjusted some of our show style and content to, you know, fit more with the radio format.
Yeah, definitely.
Even though we're a podcast, I mean, we are going to be heard by people on LRN. So, oh, and by the way,
LRN, what's that?
I don't think we said this before. We can be heard on the Liberty Radio Network, which is at LRN.fm on the web, or you can hear it on various radio stations around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also go to our website, which is porktherapy.com, and that's porktherapy.com. Send us an email, questions@porktherapy.com, and of course, find us on the social networks, Facebook and Twitter. We are porktherapy.
That is all correct.
Right. So
if you're just tuning in, this is Stephanie and Mike with Pork Therapy.
We'll leave it up to you to decide which one is Stephanie and which one is Mike.
Yeah.
But anyway, so to that listener, you know, we're gonna take your suggestion seriously, and I think you're probably right about maybe it would benefit us to do a little recap once in a while, given that we're heard by so many people on the Liberty Radio Network. So thanks for that feedback, and you know, we hope that in the future we can do better at meeting your need for clarity.
Right? That's right, and thank you for listening nonetheless.
Yeah, thanks for listening. We appreciate that. So, okay, another show-related issue. This is kind of another behind-the-scenes type thing.
And an ever-exciting one for me.
Yes, yes, indeed. So,
do we want to give away this particular secret, like the numbers, or just say trends?
Oh, I think we can just do trends.
Okay.
Okay, I'll jump into this. Before, just to give our listeners a little bit of background, Mike and I enjoy kind of sitting and talking about the show a little bit before we start each recording session. And, you know, when we get together, we do a little bit of talking shop, I guess, at the beginning. And sometimes what we like to do is go through and look at our feed stats and see how we're doing, you know, on average. How are we doing at people, you know, visiting our website and downloading our shows and, you know, clicking play and stuff, and being subscribed to our podcast feed. So, you know, these feed stats started off as kind of a mystery to us. There are all these weird terms that we didn't understand, like reach and, you know, subscribers.
And for subscribers, pretty obvious word, but boy, how they calculate what a subscriber is beyond me.
Yeah, yeah, and reach, too. It's like...
Well, yeah.
Crap, I, you know...
Even hits. I mean, does that include downloads or listens or...
Right.
And then, actually, on the stats, they have another one called item use, and I don't know what the heck that is, but anyway, go on.
Oh, I don't know what that is either. Yeah, that's kind of interesting. so anyway, we noticed that we had kind of a spike in our feed stats last week, and we were kind of like brainstorming with each other. Like sometimes when I go on Free Talk Live, I mention Pork Therapy, and there's like an uptick in the free in the
feed stats.
Yeah,
it's a whole
stats.
Other audience that is reminded or hears of us for the first time, so they might check us out.
Right. And sometimes when we appear on other people's shows, like when we were on School Sucks podcast, we got a lot of hits from that.
Right.
We surmised anyway. We really don't know how, you know, how many people are picking us up. Like,
or how they're picking us up.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Like, if we get a sudden spike in our feed stats, we have no idea what that's from, but we love to kind of guess and predict and pontificate about what that might possibly be. So, but we couldn't figure out the recent one. We have no idea. It went up probably, 10% within the span of like 3 days from what it was at.
That's actually 20% from there to there.
Oh, 20%. Yeah.
So that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's pretty big. So we don't know what it is, but if you've been listening and you've been sharing our show with your friends,
thank you.
We really appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you so much.
I would hope that would mean that you enjoy the show or get something out of it. But frankly, even if it means you think it's so crazily stupid that you want to share it with your friends, hey, we're getting more audience. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sure there might be some people who think that, especially when they don't understand what we're talking about.
Right.
What the hell is NBC?
NBC, you got to hear these guys.
Although that doesn't seem like it would be too entertaining enough to share. but yeah, and if you want to, if you have a guess or you could win the lottery. No. If you have a guess about what actually causes us to have these upticks, or for that matter, you want to tell us how you found our show, or
that
how
would
you,
be great. Yeah, I was also going to suggest, or not suggest, request that if you are into podcasting and know all these stats and what these terms mean, I'd like to interview you on the show and like learn what the heck I'm doing.
Oh, good idea, Mike. Yeah, that would be very useful. I think I would probably learn a lot from that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so get in touch with us. We have a voicemail. It's 419-PT-LOVE-4, or you can email us at questions@porktherapy.com. And, of course, we haven't pimped these in a long time, but we do have individual email addresses, too.
Oh, Mike, wow, that's right.
Mike@porktherapy.com and Stephanie@porktherapy.com.
Right. You know what? Of all of our features that we have on our website, I don't think we have our individual emails up there.
Well, that might be a good thing. If we do put them up there, I would just make the suggestion that we do, like, Stephanie space at instead of...
to try and avoid the spam bots?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we have a plugin that will automate that for us.
Oh, cool. Okay.
That's nice.
All right. So we actually started off with a topic in mind that's kind of timely. You know, it's relevant to the time of year that this is. And of course, we're recording this on Wednesday, the 24th of November, which was the National Opt-Out Day, as we mentioned before. But it's also the day before Thanksgiving, right?
Yep.
So we thought...
I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that today is Wednesday.
I'll be thankful when I'm nomming on a big turkey. Yeah. Turkey drumstick. But so we thought we would say a little bit about Thanksgiving anyway, and we mostly ended up gabbing about other topics on the show, but hey, that's okay, so Mike, what are your thoughts on Thanksgiving as a holiday? Like, I remember we talked a little bit about Halloween. I don't think we ever released that episode because it came out kind of sounding a little bit lame, or maybe we did.
Like, when has that ever stopped us?
That's true. I had all these thoughts about Halloween, like, kind of delving into people's costumes and what they could
mean.
Yeah,
that's right.
But what about Thanksgiving? I mean,
Thanksgiving is one of the least offensive holidays to me.
Mm-hmm.
By holidays, I mean the U.S. government-sanctioned holidays.
Right. Well, it's supposed to be, not religious, right? It's supposed to be a secular holiday.
Yeah.
It is kind of an American...
I think it's kind of become pretty... Nah, anyway. Anyway, go on.
You think it's become religious?
I don't think it has. No, I'm sure there's a lot of people who just kind of grab it for their own religion and say their prayers on that day and kind of own it that way, but it's really not a religious holiday.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's not really either. The one thing that I'm reminded of is that there's an article that runs on the Mises.org website or on LouRockwell.com, pretty much every year, that talks about the history of the colonies. Yeah.
Theoretically.
Yeah. And just, I mean, a lot of people have mentioned this. Probably, I think Howard Zinn is another one that's talked about the lies that you're told in the government history books.
Mm-hmm.
And, what you learn as a kid, we should have Brett on to talk about this, but what you learn as a kid is that, the pilgrims and the Indians, they were kind of fighting, but then they got together around this table and they were invited to this big feast and everybody
and the Indians
got along.
Taught them how to sow corn or something like that.
Something like that, yeah. But in reality, that's so far from the truth. I mean, it's really just this almost religious mythology
yes.
that people hear when they're young and they're just like, oh, okay, oh, that, sure. Yeah. Yeah, that's what happened. But, but you know, I think some of the true history was that there was a lot of starvation in the colonies at first because they tried this kind of communal system, like everybody put their food into
very
a common
communal,
pot.
Very communal, meaning communist.
Communist, yeah. Right. Where everybody, you know, put their food in this common pot, and then everybody took whatever they so-called needed out of that pot, and which, of course, led to shortages, and, you know, people were starving and not in good health.
And people held grudges, and people held back
right.
their efforts because they weren't reaping the rewards.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have heard that, and I would like to believe that's the true story, because mm-hmm. that's, you know, it's like a lesson.
Right.
To learn about freedom. But I really have no idea if that's true or the Indians teaching us, you know, teaching pilgrims how to
grow corn. Well, there were none of them. There were none of them left. They all got smallpox from the Europeans. Like, they all got diseases and died.
Or were just killed.
And then they're, yeah, or were raped. Just violently killed and yeah. they took their stuff. Yeah. there's a little another thing.
I came across another article the other day that I didn't read. I was actually overlooking someone's shoulder while they were skimming. Yeah. And it said, the true story of Thanksgiving as well.
Mm-hmm.
And theirs was some other version. Had nothing to do with the communism mm-hmm. and the liberty. It had mm-hmm. nothing to do with Indians and pilgrims. But they had their story that they claimed it was the true story.
And so. What was... Do you remember any
no,
details about
it? I don't
that?
Remember anything about it. But my point is, I haven't done any research. I don't know which of these is true. I just like the story right. about individuality and freedom better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's true. And how can we really know what yeah. actually happened in yeah. the past? I mean, history is written by...
The winners.
By the winners, right? Or the people who have an agenda and want people to remember certain things.
Well, even then, the people on the losing side who have an agenda, they don't get to write history. The people who
that's
conquer
true.
Write it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. So, and by the way, I realized that I kind of laughed when I said that the colonialists were, like, taking the Indian stuff and killing them with biological warfare. Like, that's not funny.
No.
That was a nervous laugh, and I'm really working on that and trying to get rid of that, actually, because... Actually, this is another tangent, but a while ago, somebody made a comment on Facebook and said that that you could make a drinking game when I'm on Free Talk Live. Every time I giggle, you take a drink.
Oh my God, they'd get blitzed in the first segment.
Right, and that's absolutely true. And then I was like, huh, you know, I have listened to my own media before, and I've noticed that I do a lot of laughing and giggling, and a lot of it is nervous.
It's not a fun show, though.
It is a fun show. Okay. I love doing this show with you, Mike, and I always have a good time.
Me too.
So I guess that makes me a little more prone to giggle, like it
right.
lowers the
think...
giggle threshold. But
the giggle bar.
But I think I need to more reserve my giggles for when things are actually truly strike me funny, other than me just being nervous or saying something that I'm a little bit uncomfortable with or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really going to try to work on that. So about laughing about biological warfare on the Indians with the smallpox... I used to live in this town named for a guy, Amherst, Mass.,
mm-hmm.
Which was named for Lord Jeffrey Amherst. Mm-hmm. And this guy was famous because he was the first bioterrorist.
Oh, geez.
He would actually take these blankets of people who had smallpox and the corpses of people who had died of smallpox, and he would catapult them into the Indian villages so that they would get infected and
wow.
they would die.
And then he would take their fields and stuff. How did you learn that? Because a city named after him, at least... You know, today, 200 years later, mm-hmm. isn't going to be bragging about that on their little placards. How are they?
I don't know, because the town is like kind of a liberal college town.
Oh.
And so they kind of have a little bit of that, like, you know, they want to expose that ugly side of history, I guess. But
okay.
I think actually the real place that I learned about this was Wikipedia.
Oh.
and it was in a totally unrelated way. Like, I was looking up something about smallpox or something about the smallpox vaccine.
Right.
And I came across that fact, and then I was like, holy crap, that's where I live, and this is named after this guy who was really not a nice guy.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I got out of there and moved to New Hampshire for the Free State Project, and I'm really glad about that. So, anyway... We were going to talk about Thanksgiving, weren't we? So,
yeah.
I guess we kind of talked about it enough. I don't know. I don't know. I was going to say, like...
What are your plans?
I don't want to talk about my own plans.
Oh, okay.
But
none of your damn business.
None of your damn business. No, none of the listeners' business. But I don't know. I think it's kind of one of those times when it is nice. Like, a lot of people do have off of work and stuff. And
mm-hmm.
it is nice to get together with friends and share a meal.
Mm-hmm.
We have some little background noises.
I do want to say to the listeners, if you can detect that background noise, I guess you'd call it white noise. It's kind of a hum, kind of a whistle or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's because we live in New Hampshire and we're currently recording in my abode, which is not well insulated and very cold. And so that's the heater. So I'm not turning it off.
We are so glamorous on Pork Therapy. You don't even know. We are like in the lap of luxury.
And it's almost as big as a lap.
Oh my.
So I'm sorry, you were saying about Thanksgiving.
Pretty soon the gulch will be done, right?
Pretty soon. Yeah. Well, no, but the gulch will be done.
It will be done.
There's no soon involved.
No, I know.
Anyway, what were you saying about Thanksgiving?
I was saying that I think it is a good time to like just get together and be with friends and like share a meal and stuff.
Why though? Because when is not a good time to get together with friends?
Yes, that was the next thing. Sorry. Yes, exactly. No, I'm glad you brought that up, Mike. I'm really glad because that's true. You really could do that any time, and if it doesn't hold any meaning other than that, or other than the fact that many people have the day off work,
right? That's and that is convenient.
Yeah, it is convenient.
And there's probably a lot of sales for travel expenses, yes, which is kind of convenient.
Oh, and then there's Black Friday.
Oh, God, I hate it too. I mean, I dislike crowds, so the busiest travel day of the year, which is today.
Yeah.
Normally.
Yeah.
And then Black Friday, which is the day after Thanksgiving, and it's the busiest shopping day of the year. It's like, oh my God. I mean, people wake up at 4 in the morning and go stand outside at 6 in the morning for 2 hours to get
line. They get violent with each other over the loss leader deals.
Oh my God, it's just, I can't imagine waking up early, being cold, standing in crowds of shouting strangers to shop.
To buy people gifts out of an obligation that they're going to get me a gift, so I better get them a gift.
It's just so disgusting.
Yeah.
Not like you're disgusting if you do it. It's so unappealing to me.
Right.
I can't fathom wanting. In fact, I had an errand to do today, and if the person I was going to, you know, meet with failed, the next opportunity would have been Friday. And I just said, you know what? I need this done, but I'm not going to do it Friday. I'll just do it Monday if they fail. Because I'm just not even going to go to a place where there's people on Black Friday.
Yeah,
just
too
much traffic and parking and lines and ugh.
Yeah, I know. I usually just don't even leave the house at all.
Yeah, why bother?
You know, I have shopped online before just to avoid going out and, you know, being in malls and stuff. I never want to really step foot in a mall again. But even online, it's like, okay, I'm buying gifts because I know there are people in my family or whatever who are going to buy me gifts, and it's sort of a tradition. No, I'm mostly out of that now, actually. I'm saying I've done this in the past, but, you know.
I'm actually quite proud to say, although I'm quite old, quite a lot older than you, but I'm quite proud to say that.
Not that much,
that
Mike.
Was, okay.
You're young in heart.
That was one of the first social norms, at least significant social norm, that I bucked. The Christmas one.
Wow.
I mean, it must have been 10 or maybe 15 years ago now that I just said, you know what? I get together with family. I go places. I don't enjoy buying gifts. I don't enjoy getting them. The family, you know, some of the get-together is fun, but there's a lot of arguing. I don't enjoy this. I'm just going to stop.
Yeah.
And most of my family was angry about it. You should come. Come on. I want you here. And blah, blah, blah. And for years. And then they just stopped haranguing me about it because I just stopped going.
They wanted you there to be their punching bag, right?
Well, no. I mean, I'm sure nobody wants to... to get into fights and have problems, but it always happens.
Why would they want you there if you didn't want to be there? Unless they didn't care about how you felt. They just were...
Well, you know, some people's definition of love is quite interesting.
Yes.
You know, some people might say... Yeah, exactly. As an example, some people might say, I'm doing this because it's good for you, because I love you. So whether or not it's hurting you or whether or not you want it, because that's how an argument would have started, they're going to do it because they love you.
Right.
And what?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense, and so it's kind of related. We always do Christmas. We're a family. We're supposed to be together, so let's do it. Well, what if it's not fun?
I bet you could have. Well, I mean, I wonder what would happen if you tried to use NVC to kind of melt away that domination language
and
stuff.
Way back then, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder if you had said, "Are you feeling lonely because you want to spend some time with me, or are you feeling lonely because, you know?" Maybe we could work out another time to visit that's not Christmas or something like that.
Actually...
Unless you didn't want to visit them at all.
Well, no, back then I did.
Uh-huh.
Actually, I tried that also. Not in the beginning, but through some of the years, I started hosting a Christmas... Was it Christmas? I started hosting, I think it was holiday parties, Thanksgiving anyway.
Yeah.
Because that was the second one that I started to not participate in years later.
Yep.
I started hosting
Fucking
it at my house.
Yes.
I started hosting it at my house instead of my parents inviting all my relatives over to my house and having a different kind of tradition. And then nobody picked it up. No one continued it at their house.
Aww.
And so I tried to offer solutions. Although this was long before I ever heard of NVC, and I certainly wasn't practicing it. And I'm sure my language was aggressive. But... I don't know where I'm going with this.
Well, okay, so you tried to actually provide an alternative to something that you didn't enjoy.
Oh, yes, and the other alternative that I regularly suggested was, you know what, Christmas is expensive, it's crowded, it's blah, blah, blah. Hey, let's just have it in June.
Yeah.
You know, it's nicer weather, we can get together, there'll be better, you know, deals on vacation spots, there won't be the lines. Right. Let's have the same get-together and do presents, do everything in June. No one ever did it.
Ugh.
And I, you know...
People are real, real stuck in those traditions, yeah. I think it's kind of a threat to suggest, like, breaking out of them, just because it's so...
It could very well have been a threat to them. Maybe that's why they took it, you know, angrily instead of,
Right.
Okay, well, we'll see you next time, or whatever.
Well, why would they be feeling angry, right? Because you know, it's a consistent thing. They need consistency, maybe. They need companionship.
Maybe,
they need...
Maybe a harmful definition of love makes them need the true definition even more. You know, maybe if they think, you've got to be here, you owe it to me, you're my child, we're family, we have to be together, and you don't want to be here, maybe that makes them need you even more, you know what I mean?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's twisted, you know. The fact that they have this expectation of you know, you owe it to me, right?
Or we're supposed to be together, or it's what's done, it's just how it's done, you have to do it.
Right.
This is unrelated to holidays, but my little brother once said to me, you're my brother, I love you, but... And then he went on to say something about whatever we were, disagreeing. But that...
I love you, but...
Yeah, it's like, I love
you.
Even including you're my brother. So basically he said, you're my brother, I love you,
but... Almost like, I have to love you because you're my brother.
Exactly.
Right.
It was an insult.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he didn't intend it that way, but that's exactly what he said was an insult.
Wow.
It's like, I have to love you, so I do, but I don't like this.
I love you begrudgingly.
Yeah. It's like, well, what is love then?
Yeah.
Ugh.
That doesn't really seem like love.
No.
I mean,
it seems like obligation. It seems like duty.
Yeah. And then people have this sense of, like, self-sacrifice is a good thing. So,
yeah. Ugh.
So they have to fulfill these duties even though they don't like them.
Maybe, you know what? Maybe that's related to the holiday thing. Maybe they all don't like it either, but they're self-sacrificing as it were to be there. Well, we have to be here. We don't like it, so you have to be here too.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. I think that happens a lot. Which is why, by the way, you know, the holidays are one of the most depressing times for a lot of people.
And stressful.
Yeah, and stressful.
Suicidal.
And I mean, not just the dark weather that happens in some places, but, you know, it's just the stress, the family issues get magnified, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. So, I don't know. I think if there's a solution, it probably NVC could help, I think, you know. When you have these things,
and that would be nonviolent communication for those of you just tuning in.
Yes, thank you, Mike. This is such a good radio thing. Excellent. All right, should we end it here?
Sure.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving if that's your bag, and
enjoy the next few days. Of course, I always want you to enjoy your days, but enjoy the next few days specifically because they provide a lot of opportunity for fun.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Days off work, perhaps get-togethers with people you enjoy.
Sure.
Lots of good food.
What's not to like?
Yeah. Have fun. Hope you have a good time.
Thanks, Mike, and you too.
Thank you.
I hope so too. And we'll see you next time. In the meantime, you can visit us at our website, porktherapy.com. And that's, of course, porctherapy.com.
If you have any questions or anything, any topics you want to talk about,
anything,
please email us at, or if you want to talk about how your Thanksgiving went or how your holidays are.
Yeah, or maybe how you used NVC over the holidays, talking with family.
Yeah.
We would love to hear your experiences if you have any chance to do that. Or
you can email us at questions@porktherapy.com.
Yes.
Or you can call us at area code 419-PT-LOVE-4.
Yes, and I had the actual number written down at some point, but then I can't access it right now, so we will pull that up for you. But we would really love to hear your experiences with NVC, like nonviolent communication, ever since we've started doing some shows about it and becoming interested in it ourselves. You know, at least I've been trying to apply it into my life, and so I'm interested in hearing other people's feedback, experiences, successes, failures, perhaps, anything like that. So give us a call or an email, please. And if you want to call us, we've translated our phone number, which is in letters, so 419-PT-LOVE-4. And then if you want to dial that, it's actually 419-785-6834. And if you go to our website, it has a little button that will connect you to us.
Automatically,
so you don't even have to worry about the number to letter thing. You don't have to get confused. You don't have to try to access one of those old rotary phones where, you know, you turn the knob around. Exactly, Mike. So, right, go on our website and you can find that as well as some other cool features like email us your questions or get on our mailing list or access our feed or search our website. All kinds of different things. So until next time, we've been Pork Therapy and we want to thank you for listening.
Thanks.
Two crazy porks who host a show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench, cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork Therapy. Advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more at 419-PT-LOVE-4. Pork Therapy. Scatterly-dee-bop, shabadooey.